The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statman, with you on this very chilly day here in Central Texas, Tuesday, 16th of January, 2018. And I asked Mike Rivero to stick around the mic there for a few minutes because, I was thinking about him Saturday when this alert went out in Hawaii. Took him 38 minutes to say, oh, it's just a mistake. But I know this is one of Mike's concerns down there. And another form of radiation that nobody in the mainstream media is talking about, and that's Fukushima. They quit eating seafood down there. Mike Rivero, how are you, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Is Claire feeling better?
She seems to be feeling a little better today. We're just taking it one day at a time. We're going to take her to the chiropractor tomorrow, and hopefully she'll be joining us on the microphone Friday, but at this point I'm not going to make a promise.
I understand. This is mighty funky flu they've got going around, and you've had it.
It's nasty. It's nasty.
Yeah, and I feel for people that have that. I kind of ducked out of it. I got a sore throat last week. I had to take a day off. I literally couldn't talk. Last Thursday, and I still got a little hoarseness that keeps wanting to come back, but all things being equal, put it in abeyance for just a period of time, crossing my fingers that I don't get this stuff. Hey, look, last Saturday, I know this weighs heavily on your mind, and we've been sticking sharp sticks in Un's eyeballs in North Korea, and they seem to want to start a war with Korea. And I know this has weighed heavily on your mind. What was going through your head Saturday morning when you got that missile alert incoming?
Well, at first I thought there was something wrong with it because we got the alert on the cell phone and the TV, but the newly installed nuclear missile warning siren system was silent. And I turned over to the local TV news station, nothing. Turned on the radio to the local news station, nothing. And I was telling Claire, I think the hackers got in and somebody's playing a cruel joke. And my first post to whatreallyhappened.com was somebody played a cruel trick on Hawaii. And then the sirens around Pearl Harbor, but only Pearl Harbor, they went off. And at that point, Claire and I weren't sure what was going on. And at that point, we began to think this might actually be real. And we had about 5 minutes of really thinking that you were going to have to start searching for a new on-air host when finally the TV news, the local TV news, came on and said, it's a false alarm, it's a mistake, nothing's going on. And this was actually long before the official retraction over the emergency warning system. Well, so for about 5 minutes there, we were really convinced.
Well, if the sirens are going off in Pearl Harbor, I mean, that would give me cause for pause. If the civilian population is confused, it would seem to be the last on the list, the group of people who would be in the dark about a missile attack. So when those sirens went off, that would have given me pause for cause, like, okay, here we are.
Yeah, my life passed before my eyes, especially the sexy parts. And Claire and I were saying, this is it. And they're saying, seek shelter. Where? There are no fallout. There are no bomb shelters for civilians here in Hawaii. It's all congealed lava. It takes a lot of work to dig a bomb shelter. And so we don't really have them. There are basements in buildings. There are concrete parking structures. We're living basically in a wood frame condo on a ridgeline. There really isn't anywhere for us to go.
Well, they say that every dark cloud has a silver lining. And I'm sure in Hawaii this pointed out the deficiencies in case of nuclear attack. I mean, I'm still fascinated, Mike, that you live on this little pimple of land in the middle of the Pacific. A little bit of dirt and rock piled up, and it's got to be a pretty lonely existence out there being so far away from everything else. You mentioned, I heard you on your program the other day mention that you have stopped eating any kind of seafood.
We're very concerned, obviously, about Fukushima radiation, that we're not really getting the straight story about what's going on. Claire and I love sushi, but we have stopped doing it or any locally sourced seafood of any kind. And we do have radiation detectors, but they're very, very limited. We're just trying to be very cautious about it. But they're continuing to just pour all of this highly contaminated water into the ocean at Fukushima. It's contaminating the fish. The fish basically can swim all over the ocean. And once contaminated, they go on giving off radiation. So, yeah, we've pretty much given up seafood at this point.
Yeah. And this is something, I mean, this is going on every minute of the day, every hour, every day, every week, every month. How much radiation is actually still coming out of Fukushima and getting into the water?
It's hard to say because we know that TEPCO and the government of Japan have been understating the radiation all along. I remember right after the reactor accident happened and they came out with this announcement of this insane amount of radiation that had been released. 24 hours later, they said, no, there was a scientist made an error with the calculator. It's really much, much less. Then several years down the road, they finally come on out and say, yes, the radiation release was that great. We're not getting accurate information. So we really can't know. Now, I'm doing radiation testing of the air, and we have not had a lot of hot surges since the incident itself. But my equipment is not sufficient to test water. It doesn't pick up alpha radiation, which is one of the main areas of concern. So we're just working on the precautionary principle. But there is a lot of radiation up there from Fukushima. There is still radiation up in the atmosphere left over from all the above-ground nuclear tests. Yes, after a while, some of it decays away. But some of those isotopes from these nuclear reactions last a very, very long time. I don't know if you were listening to my show today, but there's a story about how a lot of tap water in the United States is contaminated with radium. Now, radon gas occurs naturally, and it's a hazard you have to be careful of if you have a basement or an enclosed space. But radium doesn't occur in a pure form in nature. It takes a long process to isolate it. If you go back and read how long Marie Curie had to work to take tons and tons of uranium and get just this tiny smidge of radium. So where is all this radium coming from? We know that Hanford is leaking radiation all over the place. We know that there's accumulation of nuclear debris buried around various nuclear facilities like Oak Ridge, Tennessee. When I was a kid, you could go on out and look at the site of the world's first atomic bomb in New Mexico, but now they've had to close that off because of lingering radiation. It's only open to the public one day a year. It's turned into a big, huge event for people to go on out there. But it's all still out there. And now we're looking at the possibility of a nuclear exchange, not just with North Korea, but with Russia and China. Russia's just started a major new exercise with their mobile launchers. Scientists have estimated that if the United States or Russia were to detonate just 10% of their current existing arsenals, there would be enough radiation to end life on Earth. It would be like the movie On the Beach for real.
We finally invented something that we're afraid to use for good reason.
But insane people will use it.
Yeah. No, I have you there. Hey, one other topic before I let you slide here. Bitcoin. I heard you mention Bitcoin. You're not a big fan of Bitcoin?
I'm not a big fan of Bitcoin. I like the idea of currencies that are operating outside the control of the private central banks, but Bitcoin doesn't really have any kind of a support in terms of a commodity base. Its value is entirely speculative, and that accounts for its volatility. And it's nice to see it going on up. Somebody finally convinced me to accept Bitcoin donations, and a few have come on in. And the value is just all over the place. I have to be very honest, I get a smell of tulips about all of this. Yeah. And I think when we look past the point where we're going to have to restart this nation, that we need to go back to a monetary system based on a unit of value of some kind.
Well, and, you know, this was the interim fix. You know, we were tired of the funny money people, and that's what supposedly the people that started Bitcoin. There's about 1,200 cryptocurrencies out there, most of them small. Yes. Most of what you hear is Bitcoin. But what I looked at was a psychological softening process for people to get used to the idea of cryptocurrencies. Now, we know the banks, they want a cashless society. I mean, the whole system they've set up is fiat anyhow, so why have a real representation of folding money or, you know, copper-clad coins or whatever the case may be? And I, Mike, over the years, I kept asking the question, okay, this fiat currency in the United States has lasted more than 100 years, which, by the way, broke any record for a fiat currency. The only reason it's still around is because it's still propped up by the banks and Wall Street. We see evidence of that. Dow's sitting at 25,000. For what reason? It's not productivity. They're buying up stock and hoarding cash to themselves. And the banks are not loaning any money out there in the general business terms as investment capital. That's still locked up, kind of reminiscent of what they did in 1929 to leading up into World War II. But I looked at this, Mike, and I'm going, where in the hell is the advantage of this? The bankers have got to have Plan B. Well, Plan B has always been cooking on the back burner, and that is a cashless society. And we're seeing that right now. I saw indications, even from my own bank, discussed it with them. They used to give out bonuses to managers for how many accounts they could bring in to open up in the bank, and they quit giving out bonuses for that, and they're only giving out bonuses for people to set up accounts through their ATMs, which speaks volumes. And I'm looking at this, Mike, and I'm going, wait a minute here. There's something I'm missing. So it started to dawn on me of this softening, the psychological a softening of the public to accept a cryptocurrency or online doing business. I mean, all of our apps, phones. I mean, you can look at a phone now, it can recognize your face, and you can now pay a bill. This is what I have, finally, this is what my thoughts are on this, is the banks are not going to let the cryptocurrencies alone. They may come up with their own, we don't know, but as you said, Bitcoin, where's the basis for the way? It's a pyramid type scheme. The more people that get on board, the more money it's worth, blah, blah, blah. Well, that has an end to it. And I think we're starting to see the beginning of this. But again, the bankers needed Plan B. And I think it's getting people prepped for digital currency or a non-existent currency, if you will.
I would agree with you on that one entirely. That is the goal. If there is no way that we can take our money out of the bank, then the banks are protected from a bank run in the next downturn. And the bankers have the attitude that it's really all their money anyway.
That's right.
Because they created it and they loan it to us at interest, but we may be hanging on to it, but bankers still see it as their property. And ultimately, they want to have complete control over it. And it will make us hopelessly dependent on those banks for all of our daily needs. And that's a very scary thought, because when you centralize that much control and authority and something goes wrong, you can be in trouble. We had a situation in our local Safeway a few weeks back where Claire and I were down there shopping, and everybody's out there with their little plastic cards, and the computer systems at the cash registers all went down. Hmm. And everybody had their shopping cards full of groceries, and only the people who had cash could check out and go home. Fortunately, that's Claire and I.
Wow. And it's really, you want an experience, folks. Be in front of somebody when the systems go down and they can barely count. if you do give them cash, it's an exercise in futility watching them try to count the change back out of the cash drawer. It's rather, I don't know.
That is scary.
It is scary. Michael, by the way, before you get out of here, what's the temperature down there right now?
Temperature right now is 86 degrees outside, 80 degrees inside, 44% humidity.
Wow. Well, enjoy it, because we're freezing our tushies off here in Texas.
All right. Well, yes, I'm going to rub your nose in it. We're warm. We can go swimming, and we can even go skiing down on the Big Island.
Wow. All right, Michael, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Cold here in Central Texas? Yeah, 27 degrees is a high today with a 10-mile-an-hour wind. Now, that, you know, if somebody that's up north, they're going, pfft. So? No, you don't understand. You really don't get it. 27 degrees down here with no sun and a 10-mile-an-hour wind, it's like being in Duluth, Minnesota right now. I'm serious. It is cold. Cold because, well, you get acclimated to warmer climes. You know, it's been said about, well, the blood thickening up and being... When I first came down here to Texas, I was not used to the heat. And I'm not a big water drinker. And I damn near died of a kidney infection. Why? Well, I wasn't drinking water. I was sweating, but I didn't even notice that I was sweating. Why? Because the humidity is so low that the stuff just wicks off of you. And before too long, you're just a dried up little raisin. Now, in the wintertime, yeah, I mean, I've been in winters that are 20 below zero. That's cold. When you walk on snow and it literally crunches, you know, you kind of get the idea, or you try to breathe through your nose and it actually hurts. You know it's cold. But you're kind of acclimated to that kind of adversity because, well, you may not expect 20 below, but you expect it to get cold. In other words, the world doesn't stop. I'm serious. Down here in Central Texas, every damn thing is stopped. There's no traffic out on the roads. Businesses are shut down all over the place. And why? Well, they said that freezing rain, it was 67 degrees, I think, when I left the office last night. And within 30, 40 minutes, it was down into the 40s, and it was raining. And everybody thought, okay, here it comes. Central Texas is going to be iced over. It's going to be a death trap. Well, the roads are dry here, but the businesses are not open. So these people down here take this stuff very seriously. They prepared for something that did not happen. Kind of like what happened in Hawaii here with a nuclear alert. Steve Elkins. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, John. Yeah, I hope you don't get this pulmonary crud. I know I've had it for 12 days now, so it's still hanging around with me and my throat and everything, my voice, but I hope you don't get it. But
well, and I've been reading stuff. I've been hesitant to post it because everybody's got an opinion on what this stuff may be, everything from this is an airborne infection that's being spread by the chemtrail people. This is another variant of the flu cooked up by some secret laboratory and being spread around, however. And I'm not quite sure. You're the medical dude. What do you think?
Well, the physicians I talk to, I mean, I've got something here, and it's got kind of flu-like symptoms, but I don't have all the symptomology of the flu. But the physicians I've spoken to, they said it's viral, but it has a bacterial component. But they basically tell me if you get it in your sinuses, and you're going to get it in your sinuses first, basically your sinuses will fill up, and then you'll kind of spill over into your lungs, your pulmonary system. So you want to kind of stop that migration backwards going down into your lungs. And so you remember that little Yeti pot thing I gave you, that little funky little...
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at it. I'm looking. It looks like a cross between a pipe and a porta potty.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's goofy as heck, and there's a video online you can watch on YouTube. But it really does work. It looks silly as can be, but
Steve, do me a favor. Hang on 1 second. I got to take this break. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Statman. I'm trying to stay warm down here in Central Texas. Yeah, I know, 27 degrees doesn't sound cold. It's below zero for us.
no reason to get excited.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Having a conversation with somebody that's sick as a dog in God's waiting room. Boy, one step away.
Well, actually, I gotta say I'm about 75% back. I'm okay. Feeling tons better, but this is a nasty little critter that's floating out there, and I picked it up from one of my four grandchildren when I was up in Indiana. That was a little present they sent me back with. But when you have grandchildren or kids, they're like petri dishes, little walking petri dishes. You love them, you pick them up. Next thing you pick up something from them. I love them, but my God, it's Russian roulette with the kids. You know? It really is.
I was going to say
your little silly pot there. Let's tell your listeners there. I picked that thing up. I think these guys went belly up on this idea, this marketing pot. It's called the Yeti pot. You can pick them up at the dollar store now for a dollar, of course, but the only drawback is that they don't give you the salt packets, the irrigation packets in there. You'll have to make your own up. But if your listeners are interested, I actually created my own little formula. I can give you the recipe on it, and if you contact me on my email at silenceisimpliedconsent@gmail.com, I'd be happy to send it over to you. It's pH balanced. It will pull that gunk out of your sinuses and allow you to breathe and sleep at night. And I think that's a big secret of getting over this illness. You have to clear your sinuses out.
Right.
Because it will spill into your lungs, and this stuff settles in your lungs, you're in trouble.
Well, and what a lot of people don't realize is this is a continual breeding ground. You know, if you could eliminate the bacteria or the virus from your body, you would heal rather rapidly, obviously. But what happens in your sinuses and everything, you want to talk about Petri dish that keeps growing stuff. That's exactly what it does. I even see, I'm seeing all over the airwaves now, commercially marketed sinus cleaner outers, if you will. And evidently, the stuff does work. Get rid of the gunk, open yourself up. It helps. The more air that you can obviously take in and out through your sinus systems, you can keep it drier. But, yeah, I've actually seen these things being commercially marketed and quite successfully.
Yeah. Yeah, they do work. Like I said, the thing is to jump right on it when you get those sinus problems and they start to fill up and you can't breathe anymore. You want to actually, you know, irrigate those sinuses and clear it out before it goes in your chest. Your chest is the perfect breeding ground. It's on your lungs.
Oh, yeah.
Nice and warm in there. Moist.
A lot of surface area.
Set up shop.
Yeah, a lot of surface area. You got those little, little hairs on your lung sacs that just, hey, what a perfect place for bacteria to just hang out and enjoy the environment. One other thing that I wanted to mention, I was a little bit skeptical. There was a product that hit the market several years ago called Zicam. And with the alternative medical market, let's call it, we have all sorts of things that we can lay our hands on. We don't need a prescription for or whatever. And we found home remedies for the age-old problems of aches, pains, you know, flus, colds, whatever else. And, Steve, I was highly skeptical of the Zicam until I started doing research on it. And what people were using before was zinc. They were ingesting zinc or had got it in their mouths and whatever. And the zinc would actually kill off the cold germs.
Right.
And I was skeptical until I started coming down with a doozy of a cold, and I immediately got the Zicam stuff that you could breathe up your nose. And lo and behold, that cold was gone within 24 hours. And that has never happened with me, ever.
That's good.
Yeah. So,
you know, one thing when I meant to add on Sunday on my show, because I talked a little bit about some of this stuff, because I'm still, you know, afflicted by at least 12 days now in the running. But I sent an article over to Michael Rivero today that a lot of people don't understand is that when you start getting over the hump on this stuff, we quite often get this. We actually reintroduce the bacteria, the germs, and get us right back to where we were from the beginning, very, very ill, through one source, our toothbrushes, believe it or not. So we reinfect ourselves with the toothbrush. So when you finish, you know, brushing your teeth and all the bacteria in your tongue and everything, all this bacteria is not completely washed off your toothbrush. And we just put it back in the stand, and then it stays wet all night, breeding and colonizing. And then in the morning, what we do, we brush our teeth with the same toothbrush. So if you're feeling better in the morning, later on in the afternoon, you say, I don't feel good again. We're reinfecting ourselves with this toothbrush. So I found there are a lot of solutions you could actually do to disinfect your toothbrush. They have UV lights and all kinds of stuff like that. But I went very simple, and I did some research, and hydrogen peroxide.
I was just going
3% hydrogen peroxide. Get a little dish, a little bowl of it, or a little cup of it in your bathroom. Brush your teeth. Put your toothbrush in the solution, the hydrogen peroxide, and let it sit all night. Then dump it in the morning, and then redo it again after you brush your teeth.
See here, folks.
We are reinfecting ourselves.
See here, folks. Just when you thought it was the beginning and the end of disgusting somebody else using your toothbrush, now we've been introduced to using your own toothbrush. All right. Hey, Steve Elkins, I appreciate it very much. When's your show on, by the way?
Sunday, 2 to 4, off the beaten path. Hey, I did have one question for you, though.
Yeah.
One question. Can I get it after the commercial?
Absolutely. Hang on, folks. We kind of got a kind of mix of RBN host here. If nobody has noticed, it's a for once it's actually a slow news day. What the hell? The chaotic people out there took the day off.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You had something else there, Mr. Elkins?
Yes, I just want to say, you know, the suggestions and advice I give also, you know, these are just suggestions and advice. I'm not a doctor, even though I do play one on TV. No, but what I wanted to ask you was a question I wanted to throw it at you and Mike Rivera, but he's already gone. But here's a question I have for you. A while back, I'm going to say 6 months, 8 months ago, we heard negative interest rates with the banking. Kind of went away. I thought we were actually going that direction for a while. It just stopped dead. What do you think happened there?
I know they're still trying to tweak and fine-tune and bleed the rest of the wealth out of the economy is what I think is going on. And it was rather fascinating to me, Steve, that, you know, we were touting this funny money system that we've got to get rid of it. And I started doing background research on it, gosh, years ago. And there was never a fiat currency, just like the one we have right now, that's ever lasted more than 100 years. Reason being, it devalues. It just keeps devaluing. They keep calling it inflation, which I guess fools some people out there, but it doesn't fool me. But the system should have already have crashed. The monetary system of its own dead weight and its own inherent flaws, it should have fallen already. Reason it has not is they were pumping cash into the Wall Streets. The Wall Street boys, they just kept pumping money, kept pumping money, kept pumping money. Not loaning it for an investment or whatever the case may be in the general public out there, withheld that funds, those funds, and just kept stashing their own money to strengthen their own positions after we bailed them out in 08. But it should have already have fallen. It should already be DOA. But they have the term for it. Oh, gosh.
The quantitative easing.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Steve. Yes. Because of the quantitative easing, it didn't crash. Even the Chase people that I talked to back in 09, in the fall of 09, they looked at the books. They were surveying the field. And they had two betting pools on which month it was going to collapse in October of November of 2009. And again, reason why it didn't? Well, we're just pumping more money into the people that shouldn't be getting anything but the boot.
Yeah, I agree with you on the digital currency, the big push, the war on cash and everything digitalized. I'd mentioned a while back that I talked to some Walmart people that they were going to be in full automation in a year to year and a half, which means we would be bagging and sacking our own groceries and checking our own stuff out, basically self-checkout places, which eliminates the need for employees. I was always trying to push people to go to those people that actually were a person who would check you out, and
right.
You would give your cash to that person. But
right.
Now they're all going that direction. Even Home Depot, Lowe's, everybody's going that direction, which means that will push us into a cashless society, a digital currency where you'll swipe your card, because who's going to be feeding all these bills into these machines to get change back when your bill is, $150, $200 grocery bill? It's not going to happen.
Steve, they've got facial recognition for Blueberry and iPhone now. You can now pay a bill, just hold the camera up to your face, it does its facial recognition scan, and you can now pay bills with your face. Now, I mean, if there's no bigger clues out there as to what they have in store for people, you know, everybody's still giddy. I am always amazed at the Neo Maxi Zoomed Weebies out there, you know, the guys that stand 24 hours outside of a store waiting for the new iPhone to come out. You know, the techno junkies out there that are just absolutely enamored and wrapped up with anything technology. It's the latest, the greatest. They've got to have it before anybody else. And this craze, as I call it, that is happening, it's hit the millennials. Show me a millennial that doesn't text 23 out of 24-hour days. You know, they think they're connected, but in reality, they have been put in a cyber reality, which to you and me is non-existent, kind of like the funny money or Bitcoin or any damn thing else. Where's the real basis of it? There is none. It's just something that's manufactured. By the way, I've got one lady here that has got something for you. Roxanne in Texas, you're on with Steve Elkins and the other guy.
Hi.
Hello, Roxanne.
I've been calling a lot, and I do want to say to Steve and the whole audience, and especially John, is that I hold no higher regard for my ER, ICU, and respiratory therapist, which is Al, on your network. Wonderful, wonderful, great, caring, loving people. But for Steve and for all the audience, if you get some fresh ginger, scrape the skin, and you have to, I don't know what kind of machines you have, but we put it in our water daily. And it dumps everything out of the system, whether it be in your, it's not in your nostrils, it's in your colon. In your colon. Dump your colon.
Well, I knew it was in some kind of piping, so, you know, that's close. Just happens to be the other end.
Where's Joe the plumber when we need him?
That's right.
You know? But anyway, I wish you all the best, and then I'd be quick, but I call a lot lately because I care, and I thank you, Steve and Al, and all the people I've known, ICU, ER. You're the best.
Well,
I'm radiology. We're the button pushers, but we're the ones that give you the reason to figure out what's going on.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Roxanne. I appreciate that very much. All right.
Bye.
We are. Steve, I know you've never been involved in anything like this. It's kind of a unique experience, isn't it?
Which part?
Just being on the air, part of this network.
Yeah, you know, I guess we talked about before, there's a concern that I was in the system and I wouldn't be truthful and I would just kind of be a player in the system with you, you know. I'm not. I think you and I have talked about this. I'm a patient advocate first.
Yeah.
And I see things that aren't always good and clear, and I have taken on physicians head on many times. I'll tell you right now, my record, I'm 100%. I have never backed down, and I've won my cases because I made the argument, very solid argument, that what the treatment that was ordered or a medication or something else was contradictory to what was needed because something was forgotten, and I simply reminded that you can't because of this, and I won my case every time. I'm a patient advocate first.
Well, and the way I viewed this, Steve, is that I think it was kind of unrealistic or unreal for people to believe that people like you actually existed in the medical industry. I think that was I think that had more to do with it than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the personalities in an ICU are very strong. They're very strong personalities. And you might think that my personality might be strong, and I tell you what, it's not compared to some of the nurses I've met who are sharp as a tack, and they know their stuff, and they'll take on somebody head-on. They don't care about this white coat that you're wearing because the bottom line is it's safety for the patient, what's good for the patient, and we do. We take it on.
Well,
of the time, we win.
You know what always fascinated me? I just loved the interactions and the friction of stuff that would go on between head nurses and nursing staffs and doctors and the doctor's staff. Because it's been my experience, when the nurses get a little bit owly and they get a little pissed off, generally they're right. They ended up doing a lot of the work that the doctors used to be assigned to do, but they've shoved that off onto the nursing staff. But, I always enjoyed that because I knew that it was a healthy friction. It wasn't one of discontent or I hate my job or I hate you. It was because of the profession, and they wanted to do the best job that they possibly could. And I always enjoyed that interaction between, or the friction, I should say, between the doctors and the staff.
Well, I'll tell you, most of the ICU intensivists are very sharp people, but they are overtaxed. I'll say they are overtaxed sometimes. They'll walk around with little cue cards. They'll have 30 to 40 patients on a cue card, and they'll be making their rounds for the day. And they have to update their cue cards, their flash card, when they go into the room to say, okay, now what has to be done today? And my job is, because I only carry two patients at a time, or one-to-one or one-to-two ratio, I know my patients inside and out. So if the physician orders something that's out of the normal for that diagnosis, I'll say, hey, wait a minute here. You must have forgot this because, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't. That's how you word everything, basically. And you just point out, wait a minute, you can't because of this. And they goes, oh, yeah, yeah, all right, let me update my card here. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. And they're always very, very appreciative. It's not shoving one in your face to say I'm better than you. It's simply we're a team. We all work together. And these guys have 30 to 40 patients. I only have two, so I have to know mine inside and out.
Right.
He's got to know 40 inside and out. And he's a human. He will make mistakes. And my job is to basically make sure that all the doctors are connected and everything goes smooth.
And that's
what I do.
And people don't realize how important that is. I mean, a diagnostician, if he makes the wrong diagnosis or he mixes the wrong drugs together, that could literally decimate your resistance in your body. It can do many different things. And, man, in this litigious world anymore, I don't envy people in the healthcare industry. And I'm talking about the good people. It's not an easy thing to do. All right. Well, Steve, I appreciate it, my friend. I appreciate you popping in.
You got it. Hey, talk to you soon.
All righty. Thanks, Steve. Let me go to Larry in Washington. Hello, Larry.
Hello, John.
Hi.
I'd like to make a comment. Both of the subjects the last two callers had were great. I, as a naturopathic person, use colloidal silver almost on everything. I start to get a sore throat. I have a little mister. I just spray three times, suck it in as deep as I could get. I get an earache. I got a solution of peroxide and silver. Just rub a thing in there. It's gone the next day. And I know this guy that just talked, a nurse, was he an ICU nurse?
Yeah, that's Steve Elkins. He actually has a radio program on the network on Sunday afternoons.
And I worked as an aide in nursing homes, and what you said about, you know, the guy with the coat, I have had so many discussions with nurses I associated with over the years that they were indoctrinated to a point, but they were more into nutrition than even doctors were.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody who was in the Patriot movement, who read a lot more about things, we had some nurses that were just flabbergasted for me using colloidal silver on residents. That I'm glad to hear what that man says, because if it wasn't for the aides who feed the nurses the temps, the vitals, the condition of the resident, and the nurses being able to talk to that gentleman, and I do believe not all white coats are turds, but they have to follow a regimentation from the AMA, or else they go.
That's right. And you know what? This is one of the arenas that the help and cooperation, you know, the work of many, many different eyes looking at the same thing, it is helpful. And I don't want people to get,
I'm glad to see that, you know, some of those nurses stood up enough on this vaccines that they said, hey, look at how we'll lose our job. That's a terrible thing.
Yes, it is.
But that shows me that there are people with convictions.
That's right.
Other than saying,
well, and they're human beings first, and whatever their profession is, that is second. I understand that. Larry, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. All right. Yeah, I hope I didn't leave the impression that, you know, I just like to see contention between doctors and nurses. That's no. If you've ever sat in a diagnosis of which diagnostic procedures, you get several doctors sitting around with the egos, and how that develops is, well, parts are parts. They had to disassociate themselves really from their patients emotionally, which I never 100% agreed with, but they had to do that in order to objectively treat their patient. In other words, parts is parts, you know, what the hell. But a lot of these doctors would take it to the nth degree. And you got to have a certain amount of, godlike qualities that you hold life and death in your hand. And a lot of these doctors, well, went on the godlike status that, you know, who are you to question me and this, that, and the other. That's not a functioning medical environment. And I've watched diagnosticians just go at each other and say that, look, if you prefer and you want to go with this treatment, this regimen, you're going to kill this patient. And you watch the personal feelings and the ego start to flare. That's not a good environment. But what I saw happening with nurses and doctors in a normal course of hospital operations, generally, when the nurses had enough and said, look, they were justified in whatever their argument was in standing up against the doctors, the little gods, if you will. It's not an easy profession, unless you've been there and done that. You know, you can say whatever you want about doctors, but there are, like anything else in this world, there's good people and bad people, and some of them wear white coats. Sovereign Man, what's on your mind?
I guess the whole health issue, it seems like a lot of people are getting stricken with this upper respiratory thing. Yeah, I guess it's threefold. Only thing I can say is that the people need to get educated. I remember when Dr. Daniels was on, she had did a show on mycoplasm.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to do a search for mycoplasm, Scott, and whale. It'll bring you up to the linking pathogen in neurosystematic diseases. This is a biowarfare agent that was developed in World War II that came out of Japan, and it is pleomorphic. That means if you go to treat it at the wrong stage, it turns from a bacteria to a virus, and it also is crystallized. They were able to make it become a crystal, and they can actually spray it out of nozzles in the sky.
Well, you'll be happy to know, Sovereign Man, that this Sunday, Dr. Jennifer Daniels is back on the network from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on Republic Broadcasting.
Yeah, it's not up to the white coated priest of Baal to heal us.
There you go.
Your health is your responsibility.
Well, and you know what? That's the only time that I enjoy kind of a collectivism amongst people going for one goal, and that's healing. The rest of it, you can have all the rest of it. Hey, Sovereign Man, I've got to jump. I'm running out of time here. Appreciate it.
Can I interject one more?
Yeah, quickly.
Okay, it's you go to YouTube, type in the truth about cancer, a global quest, and the first episode is all about how the bankster gangsters hijacked allopathic medicine and demonized homeopathy.
Happened back in the early 60s. Thank you, Sovereign Man. I appreciate it. Francis in North Carolina. Hello, Francis.
Hello, young man.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Two quick thoughts for you. One, as far as the when you're repurchasing at the store and you find that you have no personnel to check you out at the store, and you're almost forced to go into those self-service thingies or whatever you want to call it. At one point, I ran into a situation like that, and I just simply insisted that I have a human being check me out so I don't have to go through that.
Right.
And I had to wait about 10 or 15 minutes before they actually brought someone from their break or whatever to actually check me out, so I wouldn't have to go through all that mess. I'd rather keep a human being employed than that.
Well, and what's fascinating about this, what they were talking about, you know, the automatic checkouts and this, that, and the other, you know, several years ago at Home Depot and Lowe's as well, I walked in there one day and they had all self-serve cash registers, and I noticed a little Indian guy standing off in the corner, and he had the only register that he could literally run sales on for the customers. And I talked to these people, and I said, you know, you think this is a good idea, eliminating jobs? You know, and let these corporations, McDonald's is seriously talking about automated burger flippers and automating a lot of their operations. Well, you know what? You eliminate the people in this food chain, and you're going to end up selling your wares that robots are making. You're going to have to sell it to the robots. Make sure they have their own digital accounts, because they're eliminating the income opportunities, the people that are in between this greed sandwich.
Well, there's that too. Oh, as far as the issue with the sinuses and breathing apparatus goes and all that, yes, the neti pot can be helpful depending on how well the person is acquainted with using it, for that matter. Reason being is that I had used one long ago, which took me a maneuver or two to try to figure that thing out to start off with. But I come across accidentally one thing that helped with getting a sinus infection out of your system. And that was simply getting, I guess you could refer to it as sushi ginger or whatever, but shaved ginger. It's not candied. And just taking a few slices of that where it's been shaved, I guess, into slivers, and pressing that through the roof of your mouth do you feel a bite to the roof of your mouth. And generally within about 24 hours or less, whatever's up in your sinuses ends up coming out of your sinuses to be expelled. And I don't ask me where I got that idea from. It just came about, and I thought, well, what the heck, why not? So I tried it, and I was stunned.
Wow. All righty. Well, Francis, I appreciate the call and the tip there.
Have a great one. All later.
Right. Public Banking Institute year-end update. No less than a half a dozen major cities in three states have made significant moves to start independent banking systems outside the control and the dilution of our federal government and the privately controlled Federal Reserve System. The Public Banking Institute gets my vote for at least serving, self-serving, and the most practical reform movement I know of. It opposes monopoly banking, as we hold these truths, resist wars. Thanks to the patriotic work of the PBI, whom I have written about before, and whom I hope readers will learn about. In contrast, the Bitcoin craze was started by people who claim to be creating independent currencies. And as I said earlier with Mike Rivero, 1,200 or more of the different ones out there. It's also a movement started by people who voice concerns about the fiat money system and a desire to fix it. But the Bitcoin movement has become profit-crazed, dominated by brilliant people who see a way to make fast dollars before reality sets in. A bit of history of the scam banking system is needed. Our founders, though well-intended, fell victim to the 17th-century clone Bank of England corruption, led by none other than Alexander Hamilton, who instigated the first bank of the United States. In its present form, the Federal Reserve System, our central bank, is a privately owned monopoly and controlled by mega banks worldwide. It is the 20th-century successor to the first and second bank of the United States. Both granted a credit money, creating franchise in a new American republic, not unlike the one England had granted to its central bankers 100 years before our nation was even thought of. Just a twinkle in their eye, so to speak. The purpose of the Public Banking Institute is to end the creation of credit money by the monopoly banks, private banks we've come to call the Fed or the Federal Reserve System. I refer to the annual report of the PBI with my prayer that you will read every word of it and not rest until you understand what it means to you and your family to be enslaved by this central banking system. You'll also learn how the monopoly can be brought to an end by forming publicly owned banks, rather, to take care of local taxpayer funds. The end of the central banking would mean an end to war in America, which is we hold these truths goals. We also hope that our Bitcoin craze will come back, will come the blockchain mechanism that will allow public banking to succeed without being corrupted by private monopoly international banking movements that now dominate most, but not every central bank worldwide. So we hold these truths, says, please look for our follow-up paper explaining the one sure and undeniable way for you to know that the Fed is a licensed profiteering money creator that effectively controls all of Washington and most presidents as well. The public purse for wars. In it, he says he will compare the Fed to a single Bitcoin miner. Go to WHTT.org website and subscribe to WHTT's complimentary newsletter. All right, that'll do it for us today. Coming up next is Jeffrey Bennett. He's got some stuff on the economy. We will see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you for being here today. Stay tuned for Jeff.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.